I'm coming strong, and I am a player. And that's why this show is called Trash Opinion.
Oh, why, hello. Welcome back to Trash Opinions, where we talk all things trash. I'm your host, Trash. Today, we're going to be talking about a season that I kind of like, but I also get why people don't like it, and that is Cook Islands, which is extremely controversial for one big reason. And when I tell non-fans of Survivor about this season, they look at me like I'm nuts, like that could never happen. But yes, initially these tribes are divided by race. Yeah, it was extremely controversial back then, and it straight up probably would never happen today. But regardless, it still ends up being a pretty enjoyable season, in my opinion. The end of the pre-merge is really slow, but then it starts to pick up a little, and it ends in a really satisfying way that I tend to like. A lot of people don't like the bottle twist. I totally get why, but I totally get why they didn't want it to look like the white tribe was going to win, which was just the whole thing. This season is a mess in a kind of way, but like, it's a fun mess. It's a fun mess. But without further ado, let's get into the trash fire that is Cook Islands.
We will work on fire. We're not going to give up.
Okay. Now I'm gonna focus my energy right into the woods.
Yeah.
Okay, everybody focus, okay?
He's holding
the stick.
I got the stick.
Focus on what we're doing.
Are you smoking?
Yeah.
Come on. Oh, yes.
Ooh. Need a break.
Alright. Seku Bunch. Seku is dope. His name sounds like a Japanese pro wrestler. He made the women mad by taking a lot of naps, and for some reason he thought he and Nate had the power despite being only a team of two within a tribe of five. Him singing at the reunion was a lot of fun, though. I did not expect Seku to just be chilling with the Survivor band like that. He had no reason to be the first boot. He was a strong, athletic male on a tribe of three women, but he actively put himself in that position by being a terrible leader. He results in a fun downfall.
I don't know about you, but I feel like this is ass backwards. Like, our parents got on a raft, at least my parents did, and paddled their way away from an island just so I could have a good life. And here I am paddling back to an island.
Billy Garcia. God, could you imagine if he actually managed to swing both Cecilia and Christina to vote out Ozzy there? Just straight up Drew Christie him? Man, that would have been amazing. Billy is the true winner of the game. He found love, and her name is Candace.
My prize isn't even $1 million. My prize was that I fell in love in this game. Love at first sight. Her name is Candace. And in between...
Candace from Roro Tribe.
Yeah, after the last challenge, we sort of mouthed the words I love you to one another, and so that was my prize, and my prize was her.
I immediately latched on to Billy as a metal fan. I mentioned before there was a huge lack of alternative punk and goth survivors. Heavy metal guys count towards that, so I appreciate the hell out of Billy Boy. His joke about rowing back to an island is pretty funny. I did get a chuckle out of it, but man, the rest of the tribe just hated Billy. Poor guy. I don't even think he did anything egregious. I feel like Ozzy mainly hated him because he was fat and wasn't a muscular guy who can be a workhorse like he and JP. They threw the immunity challenge when there were only five members just to get out Billy, which to me is absolutely insane. The following tribal is obviously iconic. A lot of people I've seen look at it as mean because Survivor did sort of portray it as, haha, fat guy, think hot girl like him. But to me, all the comedy from that tribal and at the end of that challenge all comes from Billy himself and from Jeff's reaction.
One thing left to do.
That little smirk after he says I love you is amazing, and just the way he's spilling all of it as if, yeah, I got him now, saying that getting to know Candace was his $1 million, and with Jeff's reaction being absolutely priceless. Either Jeff really had no idea, or he's an amazing actor, and based on his few acting performances, he's not. Candace from Roro Tribe? It's so good. I also love pretending Candace and Billy really do love each other and they got married after the season. It's my own personal headcanon. I ship it. Billy's going in love.
Billy, when he left, and I'm just curious. Billy, when he left, he said that you guys had like love at first sight,
and my jaw just dropped. And I was
you
like,
and Billy?
That is the weirdest thing I ever heard. So
Billy,
I just gotta ask you.
I mean, what did he mean by that? Before we left the last challenge, we mouthed the words "I love you" to each other.
No,
oh,
he's.
He
took it like you guys had a love connection
at
first sight.
Oh.
Cecilia Manzilla. I didn't remember Cecilia before the season, but despite the way she was under-edited, Cecilia still left an impression on me during this rewatch as someone who is just adorable. She's so cheery and bubbly, and the way she tells Candace about Billy's love profession is absolutely hilarious. Candace's face during that entire interaction is priceless. It's easy to forget that it was Cecilia who started it. She was also one of the few people on that tribe who cared about Billy. Nobody on her tribe wanted to see her go, and neither did I. I think she at least belongs in Cute.
Harvard Academy or City?
Where is it? Oh, yeah. He's very demanding. He's like, oh, hand me that machete. Oh, hand me this bowl. You know, serve me. I'm like, no, that just doesn't fly with me at all.
J.P. Calderon. I forgot how much of a large figure J.P. was in the pre-merge. He's the leader of the original I2 with Ozzy and gets into a huge spat with Billy, leading to Billy being voted out. He's just kind of a dick. He gets his comeuppance in a satisfying way, though. He has this Prince J.P. edit where he's just laying around asking for things to be handed to him, and his boot was a good blindside for this era. He definitely belongs in Fun Downfall.
It didn't have to be me or her.
No, it ain't you, man.
You could see myself going home getting some mashed potatoes and gravy.
Stephanie Favor. Stephanie's cool. Kind of unremarkable as a character, but I still liked her. I felt bad Nate targeted her over not feeling it some days and talking about wanting mashed potatoes. Nate did her dirty. Her elimination was a terrible game of telephone. She's a relatable, fun mom presence on the season, so I'm going to put her in Cute.
I can't believe a bunch of Asians who are so little weigh so much. Come on.
No more Asian jokes.
Oh, that right. What stereotype
was? I'm not a first-generation American. I'm not even an immigrant. I'm a refugee. I came after the Vietnam War as a refugee. I'm a survivor in that way. I've survived the Vietnam War. I can survive this.
Cowboy Bowie. Cowboy is amazing from the start. Finding out that his bad wind cure of pulling energy or whatever out of a red dot in your head is actually a real thing that they did in Vietnam and historically an Asian tradition actually blew my mind because I thought Cowboy was just talking out of his ass. Cowboy was an interesting character as the only immigrant on a season where tribes were divided racially. I wish we could have gotten more of him talking about his Asian roots, honestly. He seemed to be more in touch with his roots than the rest of Puka, hell, even Aitu, and I found him really interesting to listen to. It's a shame he will never return, since people literally have no idea where he even is. He's just apparently being a nomad in Asia, which is nothing less to be expected from Cowboy. He's like an attention magnet. Anytime he's on screen, I'm just completely glued to him. Him walking to the other tribe's camp was absolutely hilarious, because he just plops down on a log and starts talking at them. Not to them, at them, without provocation or consent. And they just all have this look of what the hell is going on their face, and it's amazing.
Why is there a tribe here?
Yeah.
We're out exploring, playing around.
Yeah, I'm not gonna sit through that we can't stand.
Yo, what's happening? Are you gonna welcome us into your home or not?
Then Cowboy launches into this huge, like, speech about Chinese symbology or something.
In our culture, we revere the dog, the horse, the turtle, and the dragon. Those are the four creatures that we revered.
Okay, every time, if you look at your life, you'll find a lot of dragons.
In wartime, the horse, the monkey, and the soldier, the
giant turtle, the
okay, is he going to stop talking?
But you find out he's secretly brilliant by figuring out the concept of the split vote, which is a common practice in today's Survivor, and it's kind of nuts that he, of all people, is the one who pioneered it. While a few of his racist jokes against Asians didn't age well, Cowboy's still one of my favorite pre-merge characters of all time. He for sure belongs in love.
You know, and I could just make fun of it and just laugh. Like, what do you call a Vietnamese with three dogs?
I think the bigger picture is, like, we get it, but a lot of people won't get it.
Exactly.
I don't worry about what other people think.
Well, okay.
You're making jokes based on racial prejudice or stereotypes.
Already, yes.
You're
yeah.
just going to confirm them in people's minds who don't know any better.
Well, a joke is a joke, right?
No, it's
no,
not.
No. So can I tell you got one more joke? Is that really offensive to anyone here at all?
Fractured my humerus and shattered my radius.
Oh, my God.
This morning, I brought up the fact that I'm a police officer and that I was shot, almost losing my arm. And that was a life-changing experience for me. Initially, they were going to take my arm.
Christina Coria. Christina was there. She was a little firecracker, but she really didn't get anything to make me remember her other than she's a cop and she got shot once. Meh.
Christina and I, we don't click very well. I think it's because, for one thing, she's a cop. And also just the fact that she's a cop.
Tell me your name.
Jessica, but my friends call me Flicka.
Flicka. My friend Flicka. That's
my
easy.
My friend Flicka. I've never seen that flick.
No! Oh.
Jessica Flicka Smith.
Who is it?
The Whiteys.
The Whiteys.
I was going to say Rarotonga, but I'm...
The sister on the end.
Sandra.
Don't know about that one, Flicka. I think they were looking for another Courtney Merritt with casting Flicka, but she just wasn't. I kind of like Flicka, though. She's a memorable presence in most of her scenes, and she does get an okay amount of content in that pre-merge. Her losing the chickens and Penner getting mad at her for it is funny and memorable, and the faces she makes leave an impression on me. Seriously, she had smiling, cheerful face and frumpy face, and there was no in-between. Mildly entertaining.
Yeah, was a headache.
Like right here. It's from being seasick all day.
Okay, sit up. Brad's problem was he didn't have the normal headache. In Vietnamese, we call it a bad wind. It's causing him this, and that result in a headache. Okay, what I'm going to do is I'm going to pull this wind out of you, this bad wind. You got it. You got a touch of bad wind. It's not real bad, but it is not great. There. You feel better now. Your headache be gone in a few minutes. That will go away in a day. It fade away. That's called the indicator.
What the hell happened here?
He was getting out of the all
the time. Wait, what? And he did that to your face?
Yeah. I will be truthfully honest with you. I did have a headache. I don't have a headache anymore. But I do have a red dot on my forehead.
Brad Virata, the first member of a 9-person jury. I can't help but feel like Brad has this inner Kobe Archer just waiting to burst out. The fact that he would later introduce Yul to his future wife is super adorable and the main reason I remember Brad. But Brad on this season is just mostly there, yet regardless, you can't help but root for him to make the merge and reunite with Yul. Candace knew that would happen, and that's why she got Parvati to flip on Brad, sadly. End of the day, he wasn't much of a character. I really don't want to put him in meh, so I'm just going to squeeze him into the bottom of Q.
The whole boat experience. Rats, boats, anything on water that...
You know it's bad.
We have an excuse. A lot of people had a really bad experience.
With boats, you know.
500 years ago.
Rebecca Borman. I kinda like Rebecca. She seemed like she had some strategic chops, just she got so unlucky that the boot order on Raro made no sense. It's a shame the edit almost completely ignores her. It's like a Butch situation where I really wanna like her, but the edit is giving me nothing. And I mean nothing. Sadly, I gotta put her in meh. Jenny Guzon Bay. I completely forgot she got the red cowboy dot too. I can't believe she drew a gun on her vote for Christina, knowing that she got shot in the arm. Such a savage. It's wild how that was even a thing that happened. Jenny is another character I really wanted to like, and I feel bad for her getting completely screwed over by the bottle twist, but end of the day, she's a very forgettable character, and she goes in meh.
I think there definitely could be some sparks in the future, but I don't want to find myself thinking like a dum-dum. And just, guys, sometimes we can't control ourselves.
Nate Gonzalez.
When I first saw Parvati, I was like, damn.
Nate's strategy is absolutely terrible, but he's such a fun character in the early pre-merge. He gets cocksure as the perceived top banana at Roro while voting wrong at almost every tribal, and the only time he votes correctly is when it's a move that hurts his game, like with Stephanie and with Rebecca. Him talking about him and Adam wanting to bust Penner's head open with a brick had me going like, but mostly Nate was pretty entertaining. His choice never to boot out Jonathan or Candace, but instead eat his own, was absolutely insane. It made no sense to keep around Jonathan. I can't think of a single good reason. Out of all the tribe leaders in Survivor history, Nate has the absolute weirdest run, and it's fascinating because it's almost like a dartboard with names on it being used to figure out the next boot on post-swap Raro. And then at the merge, he just completely trusts Ozzy for some reason and thinks Penner won't flip because he already flipped before and won't flip back. Well, Nate, clearly you don't know how much Penner loves the burn jury votes. He caused his own downfall and deserved to be the merge boot. His own hubris got the better of him, and he really should have just listened to Penner about Yule having the idol. How long he goes going into Penner at his vote-out confessional is absolutely hilarious, too.
Jonathan, kiss my ass. You a dirty, stanky, whack fruitcake who sold me out. You sold out our tribe when we brought you in, you trading bastard. So kiss my ass, Jonathan.
His final tribal council question is also presented in an entertaining way when most of them were pretty basic. Nate is going near the bottom of entertaining.
Well, a kiss is nice. Maybe if it were love, he'd have given you the immunity necklace.
Candace Woodcock. Probst is an absolute savage this season. Ah, Candace, the future Mrs. Billy Garcia, the hero who betrayed her entire tribe to go make out with Adam.
I'm offering each of you the opportunity to mutiny and join the other tribe. You have 10 seconds to decide whether or not you want to change things up and maybe change your fate in this game. 3, 2, Candace is mutiny.
They just keep sending her to Exile Island. It's hilarious. So sad, it's taken her away from making out with Adam time. Her reactions to the entire Billy Garcia situation is hilarious, and she has her moments, despite being a questionable returnee pick for future seasons.
You guys, I'm in love with everybody that I can see right now. Just come over here. I love you.
Her downfall is satisfying. It was nice seeing her immediately following Nate, proving Ozzy's mutineers die first a lie, though. She has this huge confrontation with the I-24 and Penner, which is not the right move, so she gets the axe. She could have just stayed on I-2 and just made out with Adam later and possibly had a better showing. But hey, she played 3 times, so it worked out for her. Unassuming blonde girl who makes it far, but this time with an edge. Watching her and Adam suck face constantly is gross and annoying, though, so I wouldn't say I'm the biggest Candace fan, even though she's not a terrible character at all. But one of the most unremarkable 3-time players of all time, I would say. Fun downfall.
Poverty. What's going on between Adam and Candace?
They love each other. They want to make babies.
1 second mistake cost us the chicken. The Woods ate the chickens. They're in there. And now I hear them. I scream at them. So I'm not happy right now with Flicka. I can forgive her, right? But I don't have to forgive her because she screwed up my chicken.
Jonathan Penner. The line, I'm not sure why you would trust me, just about sums it up. I love Penner being the grumpy dad of the Roro tribe because he's actually right about them not having any work ethic. It still doesn't take away from the fact that he has you damn kids and your iPod skateboards energy. If the 4 initial tribes had lasted longer, Penner would have been the first boot from Roro if they ever went to tribal, or maybe it would have been Flicka. Hell, the fact that Penner even lasted as long as he did is a freaking miracle. Penner is not a good player on the season. I don't see a single Final 3 scenario or even a Final 2 where he wins. He pissed off pretty much everyone at one point or the other. His mutiny sealed his fate, but he somehow escapes being the target up until the merge where he flips again, destroying any chance he ever had at getting any votes to win.
I was told that I was a disgusting rat. I should be voted against tonight for whatever reason.
Well, Jonathan, you're a rat because you betrayed everybody in this game.
I work my ass off every single day.
Yeah, because you're trying to weasel your way in somehow.
But luckily you're not name-calling. I appreciate that.
I'm not. I'm saying you're trying to weasel your way
How
in.
How dare you?
Weasel
How?
Is a verb.
How
in this
dare you imply that
weasel
I...
Weasel your way
excuse
in.
Excuse me. How dare you imply that I'm behaving differently today?
He's almost like a proto-Cass. As a character, Petter is absolutely hilarious. I love how he replies to Jeff Probst's challenge commentary.
Guerrero just wasted a cannonball. They weren't paying attention. Dropped it right through the chute. What's that?
Petter, oh, please.
Jonathan getting frustrated by me.
Also, watching him cry over the newborn baby bird absolutely broke my heart. That scene was just really sad.
Oh, my God.
What?
Aww.
Oh, wow.
The little chick.
Just fell out?
Oh, man.
Thing can't fly.
Oh, man. Can't put a nest back. You want to put a nest back?
No.
It wouldn't work, would it?
This thing is newborn, like, today.
Just that?
And it's in my hand. I mean, I wanted to cry. I felt terrible.
Yes,
he's okay. He's okay. Forgive us, please.
Forgive us. I'm sorry. I intruded your house.
I should know better. What am I doing these stupid things for? I feel really bad. I'm really humble.
In general, the way Jonathan gets teary-eyed over the tribe having to kill animals really endears me to him. I get it. I would eat animals out there too, but I wouldn't feel good about literally seeing an alive version of my food. I also felt sad for him at the Loved Ones Challenge where they brought Stacy onto the show. Rest in peace. Nobody deserves to go through that, but especially not them. That aside, Petter just exudes charisma. The guy just has a way with words, and I can easily listen to the dude narrate an entire season. It's a shame he never won or has been the main character of an entire season, because I could totally see that being a really fun thing to watch. Petter is both easy to root for, but also fun to laugh at when he fails, because he's such a lovable shyster. I feel like he had a hand in normalizing shady, unethical gameplay in Survivor. Aww, that's cute. Petter helped rationalize dishonesty. He really tried to stick with Rar, but Nate didn't want to hear him out about Yul having the idol. He was weirdly enough the kingmaker of the merge. He had the choice of either Parvati winning or Yul winning, and he went Yul. He was called a rat and a weasel by Parvati, Adam, and Candace, and it pretty much sums up how people felt about him on the season. Messy strategy, charismatic personality, his gameplay made absolutely no sense, and he had some of the best lines of the season. Him pigging out at the auction is also fantastic, spilling beer on everyone, burping, he's a mess, it's great.
Party fell.
Him being Roro enemy number one and just being absolutely berated at every tribal council he's at is fun to watch. He also has the best final tribal council question because of course he does. Jonathan Petter is going into favorite.
Here's 100. Here's a tip for you.
Thanks.
That's how I can get close to guys in the beginning is just flirting with them. I mean, you just have to figure out the best way to infiltrate the little group. But it's a lot of meat. It's good. You could probably eat that whole thing yourself, huh?
Probably. Parvati Shallow. It's funny that Parvati only placing sixth is considered a bad season for her. I always thought Parvati didn't become a great character until Micronesia, but I was dead wrong. Parvati is great on this season. She still has her I will roast the ever-loving shit out of you to other people after this conversation spirit. Her confessional about spitting Nate into her web and sucking his blood is foreshadowing for how she would play on her next season.
We're gonna flirt with him. Get him on my good side. It's what I do best. I'm a little baby monkey.
Yeah, your baby monkey.
I decided to work him, just for starters. Your pants are falling off, Nate.
What's your name, Parvati? Parvati, you were on top of it.
Put him into my web and trap him there. Suck his blood.
She made the flirt game her thing. She was that good at it. How she works Nate and essentially gets him to turn on his entire old tribe for no reason is brilliant. This is before she perfected it, and if you ask me, she is so obvious about what she's doing, but Nate's just a simp. But hey, I probably would have fell for it too. Parvati is ridiculously attractive and her speech skill is maxed out. And she has the Black Widow perk. It's a deadly combination. She has a very good social game, that goes without saying, and it makes her a pioneer in modern survivor gameplay strategies. How could you want to vote off Parvati? She smiles at you and is cute and fun. It's great social play, and it weren't for Penner flipping out the merge and Raro Pagong's the I-24, Parvati wins the game. Penner, Adam, and Nate will be too busy targeting each other to target Candace or Parvati, and I feel like Parv wins any final three scenario between them. Parvati 1.0 is a fascinating watch. It's like looking at the seeds of a legendary survivor player. She has great lines and confessionals on this season, too. Her talking about Adam and Candace wanting to make babies together is hilarious, but can we talk about her being the weird third wheel in that whole thing? Their whole dynamic was just weird. And I also really could have done without the extreme close-up of Parvati's thumb cut in half and all the footage of the needles going into her skin. I really can't do medical footage like that, and I needed to turn away. In the end, though, she wasn't able to spin Ozzy into her web, and she gets the boot before the charisma vacuum that is Adam. For sure going in love.
I've got two naked guys in a hut.
Yeah.
You're naked
too, aren't you?
Yeah. But the numbers are in my favor.
Two bros chilling in the hot tub.
Adam, don't
you
dare start with me.
More.
I can tell what's on your mind.
You read me like a book, huh?
Adam Gentry. Adam starts off as just your basic everyday young athletic guy on Survivor. Nothing special about him. The problem is he lasts a long, long time, all the way to the finale, and all people remember him for is making out with Candace. But I remember him as someone who is just an arrogant dick the entire time. It's funny that Candace basically sunk her game for him and his sweet, succulent lips, because he's not even loyal to Candace. He flirts with Parvati all the time. Usually alcohol makes survivors more fun, but it just made Adam more slimy. Him being on the island for so long does contribute to its more crappy slow moments, and his presence just gets worse. Adam's just kind of a dirtball in this season and contributes nothing positive other than just being the swing vote in the end that gave Yul the win. He lands an annoying.
Becky now following suit. Who will get the first flame? Stop right where you're at. We're gonna go to matches. After 38 days out here, you should both know how to make fire. This flame goes out, can she get it back?
I'm out.
And Sundra is out of matches.
Sundra Oakley. Sundra is very underedited, and it's sad, because I really like her. Just once again, the edit gives me nothing. I'm pretty sure there's more footage of Adam and Candace making out than there is of Sundra. Honestly, the thing I will remember Sundra and Becky for is hilariously how long and drawn out the fire-making challenge was at the Final Four. Probst is just so savage this season, too. However, she does very awesome things like almost beating Ozzy by lasting 2.5 hours in that final immunity challenge. Sucks they made her borderline invisible for most of the season, but she's for sure belongs in Underdog.
I know that we wanted our I-24 to go for it as much as possible and everything, but just seeing his bucket full, he didn't win by a little bit. He beat us all, like, by a lot. He's a very strong competitor, whatever it is, balance, endurance. Because he
just
loves to win.
Becky Lee. While it wasn't shown much, Becky was just as strategic as Yul was on this season, and they discussed pretty much every move with each other. Becky, like Sundra, is super underrated and it feels like they're interchangeable. They're just treated like they're not as important as Ozzy and Yule and just pushed to the side. But still, I respect Becky even if she's not a remarkable character, and she gets completely overshadowed by Yule. It's sad how buried she is despite making it all the way to the end. Forever the forgotten first third finalist. Sad, because I like Becky and I would have liked to see more of her outside of strategical talks with Yule. They're boring people, as Adam said, possibly included in the show as a meta joke. She was up against two massive jury threats, but she tried her hardest to convince that jury she deserved to win. Obviously, it didn't work out, but I still consider her to be a good player.
You need to refer people to die, man. You need to refer people to die.
Ozzy Lust? I never knew how to pronounce his name. Ozzy, the quintessential golden boy. Or dolphin boy, as Jeff Probst put it. No, and I don't mean Dolphin Boy from C-Lab 2021. This is Ozzy's best season in terms of placement, but he's still a little brat like he always will be on future seasons. And despite being a hottie, he is the personification of taking your ball and going home. The entitlement of Rupert just ramped up to 11. Rupert never hid food or threatened to stop providing over disagreements or tried to vibes.
Outside the cooking, where do you think we should put him?
I think we should just throw him in the woods.
Right there.
Now is a key pivotal moment, and I don't want to feed people that beat me. So for Adam, Parvati, and Jonathan, no more coconuts.
Ozzy is just kind of a chode, unfortunately. They coddle him in the edit, though. He gets a very positive spin on his content as this great provider, but he is such a baby throughout the entire show. I don't want to play anymore. Wah, wah, wah. Ozzy's not even all that interesting on this season. He's pissy at Roro, he wishes the worst upon Penner like everyone else does, and wins a bunch of challenges. He does have a decent amount of notable confessionals, but a lot of it is just him being entitled and pissy. He catches a bunch of fish and then gets mad when people eat the fish. It's ridiculous. He's kind of like a male Stephanie LaGrossa, but way less ableist. I will say he has the quote of the auction in 420.
420! 420, the magic number.
And it's sad his never-ending ice cream only lasted like 10 minutes. He also calls the best fire-making challenge ever to happen because he wanted to make things fair. He's also a lot of fun to watch in challenges, I will admit. He's kind of like a challenge speedrunner. He will make optimal movements with his limbs and body, and it's kind of fascinating. However, challenge performances aside, he's just an entitled golden boy at the end of the day, and this is about Ozzy as a character. Obviously is a top-tier challenge competitor, there's no arguing that. Just, I don't really dig Ozzy that much as a character on this season. I like him when he's smiling and having fun, just the problem is he has such a pissy, wah, nobody appreciates me attitude a lot of the time. And the edit tries to hide how much his personality sucks. The show tries to have other people agreeing with Ozzy in order to paint him as the hero, when he's usually not. But, to his credit, he doesn't try to be the hero. I think he knows he's just a freakishly athletic guy and doesn't have the wherewithal to even fathom the possibility that he's being a cunt.
You guys want some coconuts?
Yeah.
Oh, you want to climb it?
Try that.
Oh my god.
When Ozzy went up the tree, it was a straight picture right out of the Jungle Book. All I thought was Mowgli going up the tree.
What's up?
Okay, go ahead. Good. Oh. I mean, he may not be very big, but he's an athlete, and he's somebody who'd be pretty good at this game.
Really good job, buddy.
Good job, dude.
But I think he's just a hippie, and he really doesn't care at the end of the day. It's not like he's out there preaching honor. It's a shame he's not that interesting, because with his skill set, he could easily be a more dynamic character, but he's still viewed as one because of just how good he is at challenges, and I must admit it does make him very memorable. It carries people's love for him, and me personally, I don't care about challenges, and I usually skip them, but Ozzy is fun to watch. I get he has his fans, but he's just not for me. He's just a scutchy Tarzan. I was honestly glad he didn't win, even if he did try to go the emotional route with the jury as an alternative to Yule's logical route, which was smart of him. But with everything laid out like this, while there is some good and there is some bad, I'm not going to put him in annoying. I'm just going to put him in Golden Boy and just leave it there. He's at least more interesting than, like, half of the cast, so it's okay.
You guys want to see the Great Cook Island humpback whale? All
right. I'm nervous.
I honestly was stunned. I mean, this is crazy. I mean, on one hand, I think it's a great opportunity because I think it's wonderful that there's more minorities. At the same time, I'm a little bit worried that it might play out to caricatures and stereotypes. So, I don't know. It'll be interesting to see how things play out.
Yul Kwan. Yul is gorgeous, like a Disney prince, just chiseled and perfectly molded. There's so many absolute 10 out of 10 hotties on this season. Anyway, Yul is probably the best strategical winner we've had at this point. He absolutely dominated in a way not seen before. Coming back from an 8-4 made team challenges feel like they actually mattered more than they ever had. Yul is just extremely likable. I really don't know anyone who doesn't like Yul. He seems like a super cool and smart dude. He doesn't have any big bombastic character moments other than his adorkable quirks here and there, like his scientific explanation behind surface area of feet versus standing room.
I think Jonathan has a point though.
What's that?
Well, basically, the surface area supporting all of us is about the same, even if your feet are a little bit bigger or not. But, you know, your mass goes up at a faster rate than surface area. It's kind of like why elephants can't run up trees.
Just what I was thinking.
Clearly.
I'm never going to get a date again.
Smart equals sexy.
But Yul is just so incredibly likable that it doesn't matter. He's still fantastic. It's one of the few examples of a good leader and a good character, but also being the strategic pulse of the merge and winning with it.
Probably is an interesting guy. I mean, when I first met him, I just thought, kind of wrote him off as a crazy kook. But in between the random kind of inane nonsense, there's actually like gems and nuggets of information that are actually useful.
His game isn't perfect. You could argue he goes out at 4 if he doesn't have the super idol, and also hugely benefiting from the end being a final 3. The fact that he used the super idol as a bargaining chip to bring Penner to his side, and just in general managed to win despite an 8-4 deficit, was super impressive, conspiracy theories aside. Him just hijacking the auction to show off his idol is the stuff of legends. It's such a ballsy move, and I loved it.
I can end the suspense. I have it.
You have the idol.
I have the idol.
Did you bring it with you?
Yeah, it's in my bag.
You want to show it to us now?
Sure.
Wow.
Is it right here? It's a compass on a necklace.
Looks authentic.
He's just so stoic, calm, logical, and collected the entire time. He's just so cool, but also such a nerd.
He's a very complex, very, very intellectual guy. To see him come out of his shell was amazing.
He also wanted to be a positive representation for Asian Americans, and I feel like he achieved that. Yul's just the man. You don't have to be big and loud as a character to be considered top tier for me. Sometimes you can just get there by being extremely respectable on every single level. Yul definitely belongs in love. A lot of people say that Cook Islands is only remembered fondly because it has Yul, Ozzy, Parvati, and Penner, and act like those are the only good characters of the season. And I know I said before that I disagreed with that assessment, but on rewatch, I kind of realized that those people are kind of right. What this ranking that I'm showing doesn't show is how much of a dip there is between Nate and Candace in the rankings. When you see in my final rankings that I'm going to release after this series is done, there's a huge amount of people between Nate and Candace. Everybody in C tier is pretty much like near the bottom of C tier because they were either extremely underedited or I found things that I dislike about them, such as the case with Ozzy. But I will say, for a cast of 20, there's not a whole lot of duds. I really like Cook Islands. I feel like it gets a bad rap. I can't call it an all-time great season, since there's a decent chunk of it that gets boring as hell towards the middle of the season, and I actually struggle to retain my attention throughout it. It's kind of insane how many returnee seasons people on this season have played, though. Ozzy and Parr both have 4, and Penner and Candace both played 3 each, and Yul played twice. Literally 2 legends came from this season. It's insane how good this cast is, and it gets called a bad cast. It's at least one of the hottest casts for sure. On my Survivor Hotties Mount Rushmore, you can bet that Yul and Parvati are both on that set. But that was Cook Islands. Thank you so much if you made it to the end. Next should be Survivor Fiji. I almost forgot what season was next for a little bit, but yeah, Survivor Fiji. A season that I have mixed feelings on. I mean, the pre-merge is absolutely boring, and it's total bullshit that one tribe gets everything, like the greatest survivor shelter ever. Like, that camp, I would live at that camp. That camp looked fucking dope. But like, the other tribe gets absolutely nothing, and it's like, they keep losing every immunity challenge, and it just keeps getting worse and worse for them. And it's like, this haves versus have-nots, like, social experiment where they're trying to see that, oh, can the poor lift themselves by the bootstrap? And it turns out, no, the rich just get richer, and the poor just get poorer, and it's terrible. But, the merge is pretty great. It has a fascinating story behind it. It's one of the better pre-merges of the entire series, in my opinion, and it has some fantastic characters at the end there, specifically in Yao Man and Dreams, and I'm excited to talk about them. They're fascinating characters. A lot of people don't like Earl as a winner, but like, I think he's underrated as hell. I think he's a good character, and a lot of people call him boring. I highly disagree with that. Strong disagree. He's pretty great if you actually pay attention to him. Anyway, rambling aside, thank you so much for watching once again, and this is Trash Opinions signing out.
Christina and I, we don't click very well. I think it's because, for one thing, she's a cop, and also just the fact that she's a cop.
420!